1 Kings chapter 17, I wish to be an encouragement to you. The Word of God always brings comfort to us in disappointments, in discouragements, but God wants to encourage us. Before we stand up and read, I just want to say a big thank you to the Lord for moving and bringing many people to our church last week. All right, and it was a wonderful thing. You can see in our bulletin, page 7, the photograph. We kind of made a head count. We had about 95. And we're moving towards the three figures, amen. And we want to thank God for what He is doing. And I'm not proud of that. I'm just encouraged that God is allowing us to be blessed in that way. I want to thank the Lord also for the many who made decisions during the message at the end. There were many people who remembered how God has led them. And they made decisions in their hearts to do something for God. Can I challenge you? Keep that commitment to the Lord. Whatever that you have said or done, keep that commandment or keep that decision that you've made. I want to thank the many hands who have made the anniversary a blessing. The people who laid out the tables and the chairs, the people who were involved in the singing, people who made the food, they were coordinating the food, and all of us left saying that we are blessed, body, soul, and spirit, right? Some of us are more blessed than others. We thank God for His provisions, and also for the people that have put in the effort, and also for the people who have cleaned up after that as well. Thank the Lord, most of all, for the victory He has brought as a result. I want to encourage us from God's Word today. Alright, I want to encourage us from God's Word. Let's stand as we read 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 17 to 24. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 17 to 24. I'll read verse 17 and you read verse 18 until we finish verse 24. Right? 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 17. Is everyone ready? Okay, I'll start first. 1 Kings 17:17. It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore, so serious, that there was no breath left in him. Verse 18. Verse 19, and he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft, where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. Verse 20.
And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, thy son also brought me to the Lord, who would my servant, by saving her son.
Verse 21, and he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again.
And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived.
Verse 23, and Elijah took the child, brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. Verse 24,
and the woman said,
let's pray. Father, thank you for the encouragement that we will find in this word. Lord, this widow had problems in her life, and through the man of God, and through situations that you engineered, you caused victory. We pray today, Lord, through your word, you give us victory in our own lives as we see what you did. We pray for one who may not know Christ as your personal Savior. And so perhaps throughout this message, they may get nothing. But Lord, I pray that thy Holy Spirit, our teacher, will be able to bring to life our understanding, that we might hear your word, understand it, and accept it by faith. And I pray for one who do not know Jesus, that today, Lord, will be a day of salvation. And for the rest of us, Lord, that God, you will awaken in our lives things which were quiet for a long time. Our conscience may be stirred. Thy word will bring life to us. That when we walk out of this assembly, in a few moments later on, Lord, we know what we need to do with you. We'll thank you for what you're going to do now. Speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. All right, please be seated. Today we are dealing with this topic entitled Facing Life's Disappointments. Facing Life's Disappointments. To begin with, I want us to understand what a disappointment is, okay? What is a disappointment? For our visitors, we actually have this. Can I borrow this? Okay, for our visitors, find me doing this every week, but that's okay. We actually have this. We have verses in there, alright? Okay, and also we have so-called like a fill-in-the-blanks for you to kind of follow through, alright, the message, and you don't get lost. And for you to write down some things as well. If you are a diligent student of the Word of God, you would want to at least write down some things to help you remember what God has spoken to you about, okay? Today, I want us to firstly understand what is a disappointment. What is a disappointment, okay? The word disappointment is two words, alright? Disappoint. Disappoint, okay? The word dis means a separation. Dis, like disappear. It means you were here, but you are separate from the appearance, means you are no longer around. Disappearance. Does that make sense? First is this, it means a separation. Appointment means something that is fixed. In other words, I will meet you at 5 p.m. That's our appointment. Okay? So in our lives, there are certain expectations that we have in our lives that are our appointment. And when it doesn't happen, it becomes therefore a disappointment. Does that make sense? Simple English lesson. But it's very important for us to understand. Because there was one time, I think, how many of you, when we actually, one of the things for church camp, I think last year, we went to Port Dixon. How many of you enjoyed the camp? The one we go go-kart on, huh? Okay? Port Dixon is a place that, basically it's a beach, alright? But there was one go-karting place whereby we were quite when we went there, we went there to recce earlier, me and my family, we went there to recce the church camp, and then we kind of find out there's this place, and so we decided to go and try. Well, everyone wanted to go 2 rounds and 3 rounds and 4 rounds, you know. It was actually at the top of a 6-story building. Alright, the whole car park has been converted into kind of a go-karting kind of track, and you can see some of the photographs, right? Some of you have. I can see Brother Rolando with the helmet now. Eh? Last year he, and Celine said, "Papa, can I go again?" You know, and some of us also wanted to go. We were not disappointed with the appointment. We enjoyed ourselves, huh? But then, but in the same the camp before, year before, I told you all that same place, church camp. There's a giant at Port Dixon. And so when we went there, and I told the people, "Oh, there's a giant, and there is also a hawker center and things like that, and everyone can enjoy themselves." But they went, there was no giant. So I could sense the disappointment. But you know, everyone loved me, so it was easy for them. No, don't worry about us. So they all ate a kway teow shop and kind of thing, you know, kind of thing. Okay. But there was a disappointment because you had a preconceived idea what it was supposed to be. It was already established. It was already an intention. But when you went there, you were disappointment. Because why you were separate? Something happened that caused you to separate from what you already established. Okay? Using the case of this widow at Zarephath, for those who know the story, there was a famine in the land for 3.5 years. Elijah told King Ahab, "We was an ungodly king. At my word, there is not going to be one drop of rain for the next 30 months. 3.5 years, there is not going to be any rain in that place." And so God actually moved him out into a brook Kidron, alright? Brook Kidron, where the Bible says the ravens will come and feed Elijah. And so Elijah stayed by the water brooks. Very soon, because of the drought, the water dried up. And Elijah had, God says, "I want you to go to a widow at Zarephath. Specifically to a place at Zarephath. This widow, when Elijah came and met the widow only had a little bit of oil, a little bit of flour. And as Elijah met her, she was picking up some sticks, if you know the story. Why? She was picking up the sticks to make a fire. After she made the fire, she was going to make some food with the little bit of oil and a little bit of flour. And she told Elijah that, after we eat this, me and my son will die. All that was like, this is our last meal. We're not going to get any more food. You know what Elijah told her to do? Give me some food first. Would you do that? Let's say if you go to this Joseph here. He had only one bun. He tells me, "Look, Johnny, this is my last bun. After I eat the bun, I die." Would you take the bun away from him? How many of you would do that? Put up your hand. You're smiling. No, we won't. But you know what Elijah did? Elijah said, "You give me food first." This man of God had no heart. No. You know what God was trying to do? God was trying to get to this widow. And what God did was told Elijah, "You give the food first, and God will take care of you." Do you know what the widow did? She did that. And guess what happened? The Bible promised the widow, God promised the widow, the oil and the flour would never run out until the drought is over. Until the drought is over. You know, that was exactly what happened. Lesson for us, even not in this passage. When we choose to give God what we have, even though we feel at the end of our line, God will always come true. Because God will never, never shortchange you. God will never take something away from you and giving you back something better. Amen? That's our God. That is our God. That is reflective of even our fathers that we have, our mothers. Every time we want to take something away from our child, it is because it is good for them, right? Huh? You take away my things from me and it's good for you, for me? Example, how many of you children don't have to put up your hand? Your parents say, "I have to take away your TV from you." And you feel it's bad. You know why mommy does that? You know why daddy does that? Otherwise they won't study. Huh? Correct? How many of you would dare to put up your hand and say amen to that? Oh, no computer games until you finish your... Some of you will... I see some of the young people are laughing. You know why? Because it's true. In the same way, God sometimes have to teach us to give. Then He can give us back. And so after that, everything was fine. There was the oil and the flour. And basically Elijah and the widow just had food every day. And everything was status quo. Everything was fine. Everything was fixed. Until the widow's son died. And that was where we find the story here. Using this case of the widow Zarephath, she has been cared for by the man of God. She expected the prophet to take care of everything in her life. And after all that she has done for them, you know, she sacrificed her last meal, you know. Sacrificed her last meal. In faith, she surrendered her efforts. She took the risk to sustain the prophet. And after all that she has done, now... she had a bitter disappointment. What was the disappointment? Her son died. Remember, she's a widow. In the Jewish culture, you need a man in the house. If your husband died, you're sad. If your husband and your son dies, you are pitied. How many of you remember the story of the widow of Nain in the book of Luke? There was a funeral that the widow was actually having the funeral of the son. You know, that was a sad thing because the Bible says there was a whole group of people mourning for her. Because a widow wouldn't be able to get a job. She is only dependent on social welfare. What did Jesus do? Jesus came to the funeral. Firstly, He touched the coffin, which is a no-no for a Jewish prophet. Number two, he told the son, get up. You know why? Because Jesus had compassion on the widow. God took care of the widow at that time. Here, the widow had a bitter disappointment. He lost a son. She lost a son. How many of us perhaps are going through this? Maybe there's some disappointment. You expected something to be in a certain way. It didn't turn out that way. And whereby you have given your best or through your efforts and work, and then at the end of the day, you say, all I get is someone scolding me in the face. All I get is someone not appreciating me. How many of, you know, if you serve God faithfully, you are going to get that somewhere. You have to be ready for that. When you serve God, not everyone is going to pat you on the back. And you have to get used to that. Because as a servant of Christ, there is no excuse for not denying yourself. You know, this widow had to come to grips with this. As we go on, in verse 70, it came to pass after this thing, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and sickness was so sore that there was no breath in him. As time went by, out of the blue, the child became very sick, and the sickness and the disease was so bad that he died. I want to consider two thoughts. Number one, trials and tribulations in your life is as common as the air we breathe. How many of you don't have problems today? Put up your hand. Huh? There's only one person. There's only people who don't have problems in their lives. Either they don't know what's happening, or they're dead. You know, you're dead, you give problems to someone else. We all have problems in our lives. You realize children also have problems? Huh? Children, do you have problems in your life? Put up your hand. How many children don't have problems in your life? You have problems in your life? What's your problem? A funny question. What's your problem, Joseph? I'm sorry, you see in front, you always get picked on. Do you have a problem in your life? What? He has eczema. It's a medical problem. You know, it's eczema, skin problem. Okay? Jojo, do you have a problem in your life? Don't know.
My brother, no, just kidding. I'm just kidding, sorry. I'm sorry, my children. Don't wake me up in the middle of the night and bash me up.
We all have problems in our lives. Some bigger, some smaller. Some taller, some shorter. We all have problems in our lives. And you know what? It became a problem because what we appoint, we become disappointed. We become actually disappointed. But trials and tribulations are as common as the air we breathe. The Bible says in Job chapter 5 and verse 7, man is born unto trouble as a spark fly upwards. Whenever there's sparks, it always goes this way. In other words, God is saying, when you are born, you have trouble. It's as common as a spark flying upwards. That means it's a natural thing, number one. Number two, this is important. After God has mercifully blessed you, look out, because trials are then sent to test whether or not under the good times, your faith will still stand. I say that again. When God has mercifully blessed us with the things in our lives, when everything is comfortable, God sends, allows trials to come to test whether or not in the good times you will still depend on God. Or bad times, whether you still depend on God. Whether the faith that you have when God blessed you will sustain you and is real enough to hold you in the trials that you will go through. Does that make sense? It's very important for us to be understand it, because many Christians, after having blessed, they say, how come suddenly all these problems come? I want you to understand this happens all the time. That's part of God's plan to mold the Christian. God doesn't want us to be what we call fair weather Christian. You know what fair weather Christian is? I only serve God when everything is nice and wonderful. You notice that godly men serve God even when they have to go through the fire. Amen? That's our example. And here, the widow has to expect this. But you know what? She was not ready for it. If I'm speaking too loud to keep you awake, that's my intention. Alright? But let's focus on God's verse. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 18. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with you, thou man of God? Art thou come to call my sin to remembrance, to slay my son? In the disappointments in life, the widow asked this question that all of us ask too. You know what's the question? Why me? Why me? Why did you come into my life this way, Elijah? That's what the widow is saying. Why? Is it because you're here to call my sinfulness to the surface? You know, when things happen to us that separate our intentions, that separate our appointment, that we become disappointed, or the intentions and our plans have been frustrated, there is a tendency to ask why. You know, not only this, you know how we try to, you know, as human beings, we have this tendency, we like to come to a closure. We like to reconcile things. I believe if you read this passage carefully, if you are going through the disappointments in your life, if you understand what God is trying to say here, you will handle your disappointments differently. Why did God slay the son? I'll just give you reason number one. Because God wanted to seal the conviction in the widow's heart about who God is. Notice in 1 Kings 17:24. The woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." So through the killing of the son, God confirmed in the widow's heart that Elijah is a prophet and there is God. Number two, why does God bring disappointment to our lives? Listen to this. Because God wants you to know Him experientially. He wants you to know God personally. Because let's be honest, without trials in our life, as human beings, we will think we can control the situation. But when God has to send trials in our life to remove us from our own comfort, that's when, God, I need your help. God wants us to use the internet term, connect with us. But you know what? Every time God SMS us, you know what we do? Reject. Or we delete. And sometimes God wants to send an email to us, we think it's spam or junk mail. God cannot get through. Then you know what God does? Break down your server. God begins to do trials in our lives. Do you have trials in your life? Are you too comfortable with your Christian life? If you're not a Christian today, you know that trials in your life, the trials in the life of a non-believer is to bring you back to God. To know that you have no hope in this world apart from God. And so here, God uses many ways to know Him experientially. Three ways, by the direct approach. Okay? Example, Moses dealing with Pharaoh. Pharaoh knew God firsthand. The 10 plagues of Egypt. At the end of it, he still didn't want to repent. Poor thing, you know. He's in hell today. But the direct approach, number one. Number two, by defeat. Joshua thought that he could, after he has brought down Jericho, he went to Ai. He thought, oh, everything will be fine. You know what happened? God gave him a defeat. To realize that he has to keep his tribe of Israel holy before God. And number three, God deals with us to help us know Him experientially by disappointment, as in this passage. I want you to know four things from this passage. How God wants us to face disappointment, number one. When facing disappointments in life, you need to realize God is concentrating on you. The Bible says in 1 Kings 17:17, it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Notice that out of all the people in the world of famine, who did God send Elijah to? Remember, the entire world was in Israel there was famine. Who did God send Elijah to? The only prophet at that time. Oh yeah, there are 7,000 that's not about to Baal. But the only prophet, by the way, Elijah is the most prominent, most powerful prophet in the Old Testament, that the entire Old Testament prophets is represented by him. He is the one who will speak and fire will come down. Alright? And so he was a very prominent prophet. But out of all the people in the land of Israel, who did God send Elijah to? His widow in the land of Zarephath. I want you to look at another verse in Luke chapter 4, verse 25-26. This is interesting because Jesus spoke this and brought up the widow of Zarephath. He says, you can find it in your verse that's printed, okay? But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, except unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And you know what? In it, you see God's specific details about who He sends His prophet to. And I dare say from the Bible, when you have disappointments in your life, you know what? God is putting His spotlight on your life. To do what? For Elijah, there were 2 things the widow had to do. God wanted the widow to feed Elijah. Number 2, based on Luke chapter 4, verse 25-26, if you look at the context, God wanted to save her soul. Because Sidon is outside of Israel, to the north, outside the land of the Hezbollahs, you know, the Hezbollahs, Lebanon. God wanted to save her. There was a specific purpose. There is a will of God that God wants to accomplish in the life of the one He's focusing on. If you have disappointments in your life, on the basis of God's word, it could be God is trying to get your attention about certain things. The Bible says, Jeremiah 29, verse 10 and 11, "Thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." Notice the plan of God. Do you realize when God wrote Jeremiah 29, He was writing to the nation of Israel in bondage. Israel and Judah, because of their sin, has fallen. And God said, because of your rebellion against me, you are going into captivity for 70 years. And after that, I'm going to bring you out. Some of you may need to go into that 70 years because of certain things. But you know, God wants to bring us out. And that's why God focuses His attention on us. Can I say this? Nothing in your life is a mistake. If God's in control, He's sovereign, nothing in your life is a mistake. However, as you go through that situation, you have to understand God's reason for putting you there is to see how you would respond to Him. Okay? Here, the Bible encourages us further in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and expected end." Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes your disappointments are coming. But Christians, be encouraged. God's spotlighting you. In others, you've been singled out by God. And God wants to do something in your life. Number 2, when facing life disappointment, realize God is concentrating on you. Number 2, when facing life disappointments, realize that the disappointment, listen, will cause you to face yourself. Look at verse number 17 and 18. I'll read 18. "And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God?" This man of God, the widow recognizes Elijah to be a man of God. "Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son?" You know what's the response this widow had? Recognize that the widow already in faith trusted God through Elijah to provide for him. And so things were going well, then her expectation was things would be status quo until her son died. Then after the son died, the Bible says that she was crying, "My wife, why are you coming into my life for? You man of God!" She's probably in grief and tears as she cried. And she looked at Elijah. "Are you come?" What was she doing? She was complaining, wasn't she? And every time we have disappointments, we complain. But you notice what she said. "Art thou come to call my sin to remembrance?" You know what that means? God was dealing with this lady to pull something out from her that she has been hiding for a long time. God sometimes brings disappointments into our lives to show up those things that you are hiding deep down. And God says you cannot continue there until you deal with this. I say this strongly because there are many, many Christians who hide from God and think that everything will go well. And yes, for a period of time, God in His mercy allow us to go well. But get it, if you are a child of God, you cannot run away from God. And one day, through your disappointments, God is literally trying to say, are you or are you not going to deal with that? Many Christians go through life carrying hidden pockets of sin and rebellion, not wanting to turn away. And therefore, their life continue the way it is. Oh, God bless, and they praise God. But secretly, there's something. Can I say this? Why does God focus on the lady to bring up the sin? Is it because God, I'm going to deal with you because you... You know our God is not like that. Parents, why do you have to confront your children regarding the wrongs that they do? Why? One word. Because you love them. And you know if they continue in that sin, they are just not going to grow. And so here, God wants the widow to face up to herself. You know, in Genesis chapter 42, let's turn there. Genesis chapter 42, and verse 20 and verse 21. Story of Joseph. I love this story. Many lessons that we can learn from this story. In the passage that you go to, Genesis 42, Joseph was already the prime minister of Egypt. And all his 11 brothers have gone to buy grain from this Joseph. They didn't know it was Joseph. But it's interesting, when Joseph saw the brothers, the brothers couldn't recognize him because he was wearing the Egyptian stuff and he was a prime minister. And the brothers thought, our brother is obviously dead. No? By the way, this one was more than 10 years after the brothers have sold him to slavery. They thought they were not going to see Joseph again. Surprise, surprise. In Genesis 42, when they begin to realize, wow, we come and buy grain. Well, this prime minister giving us a hard time, you know. But notice in Genesis chapter 42, what was the first response? Let me turn there. Genesis 40. You know, the first thing the brothers remember was what? In verse 21. And they say one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother. This was more than 10 years ago, and the first time they meet with a disappointment in a foreign land about buying grain, it took them right back to what they did more than 10 years ago. What is God identifying in your life that is the thing that you have to deal with right now? I don't know, but you do. Because God's word will not come back unto Him void. Young people, there may be things in your life that you are hiding from your mom and dad. You've got to get rid of that. You need to repent regarding that. Mothers, are there things in your life as well? Fathers, are there things in your life you're hiding and you're not surrendering to God? Is it pride? Is it selfishness? Is it I want to do the things what I want to do my way? What must God do to get it out of us? What must God do? Realize that she has been convicted about something. The Bible never say what. But it's interesting, the moment this time, look, are you come to remind me of what I've done wrong? That's what the Bible says. And the Bible is just as relevant that time as it is today. And it could be God may be speaking to us, Christian. See, the Word of God is alive. Is God speaking to us? There was this preacher, believed that God called him to preach. He went all out and he was preaching to the countryside. Many people got saved. He decided to have a tent meeting and he started to build a tent. Many, many people come. And he had that tent for many, many years. Until one time, the Association of Preachers decided that in order for you to continue preaching, you need a license. And so this preacher said, no, I'm not going to have that, you know. You guys didn't support me now, and now that the people are growing, you want to be part of that? Over time, one time during the 10 meetings, the building burned down. And this preacher said, no, we're going to rebuild and we're going to do it again. And then he rebuilt the tent. And after one or two more years, it burned down again. This preacher was doing God's work. But over time, he wasn't getting the message from God. God was telling him, these people don't want me anymore. That's why the buildings are burning down. But you know, in the pride of the preacher's heart, no, we're going to keep doing it for God. He built it up again. This time when it burned down, God took the building down. His wife died of a heart attack as well at the same time. Some of you know the story of Shafi. At the grave of his wife, he asked the question, why? Then he realized, God, have I been insensitive to you? That God, you had to take my ministry away. And now you take my wife away. You know what he did? He confessed his pride to God. At that time, when he faced the disappointment of a lost ministry and his lost wife, God wanted him to say, Shafi, you need to surrender your pride. Christians, is there something going to happen? Oh, please. You know, as a pastor, the thing that hurt me most is when God has to do something to you to get your attention. Why don't we just obey God and just follow Him? Just surrender our selfishness and our pride. Things will be so much easier. When facing life disappointments, remember, God may be causing us to face ourselves. Are you facing life disappointments? And could it be that God is asking you to face up to yourself? If you're facing, by the way, if you face a disappointment and you miss the message, you know what's going to happen? Replay. God's going to do it again. Because it's so important in our lives that God has to do that. Because otherwise we will not grow. Just like I'm not going to let my children go because they've done something wrong and refused to turn. Because why I love them. Can I say this, when disappointments come in your life, it comes from a heart of love of God? Christians, parents, when you make it hard for your child, why? It's not because... Children, can you please listen to me, children? When parents make it hard for you to study and to clean up your room and all that, it's not so that they make your life hard. Some of you think your parents make your life hard, right? Clean up my room again, huh? It's actually they want to drill discipline. They want you to learn the right things. Sometimes the parents have to say, I'm sorry, you're grounded for this week because you didn't do this. Why? So talk some sense into us, right? If ye fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Heavenly Father? In Hebrews chapter 12, if our earthly fathers will discipline us, what do you think our Heavenly Father will do? If you truly belong to Him, you will face disappointments in your life. But you know what? Take it as God, what lesson do you want me to learn? I think it's important for us to go back and maybe in the quietness of your room without any interference, look up to heaven, open your Bible and say, Lord, speak to me. There's something I'm hiding, Lord, that I must surrender. Number three, in facing life disappointments, God's concentrating on you. God wants us to face ourselves. And number three, in facing disappointments in life, realize that the first thing you will need to do is to bring your need to God. Don't complain. Bring your need to God. Notice what Elijah did when he heard what happened to the son. Look at verse 19 to 21. Elijah said unto her, give me thy son. He took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. He cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil unto the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? You know, what was the widow's response? The widow's response was to complain, right? Let me ask you a question. Did it bring any answers? Did it bring any solution? When the widow complained about the situation, did it help the situation? You know why? She brought the complaint to the wrong department. There's only one complaint department for Christians. God. Because what can humans do in disappointments like this? We just complain, no response. We don't complain, right? Whenever things go wrong, right? How many of you don't complain? I'm sure all of you pull out your hand. We all complain when things go wrong. Notice Elijah's response. What did he do? The Bible says the first thing he did was he cried unto the Lord. Notice the word he cried to the Lord. Sometimes when we have problems in life, now God, please help me this problem. You know, God's not interested in that. You know why? God says your heart is not in it. In October of last year, there was one thing in my own life. I said, Lord, we haven't had baptism in the whole year. God had to make us face ourselves, or I had to face myself as a pastor. You know, how many of you, if you work in a company and you have no productivity month after month, what will your boss do to you? Number one, maybe give you a warning letter. After a few months, ask you to leave, right? You know, I'm concerned for one thing. With all due respect to God, my heavenly boss, if you look at the church, no baptism for the whole year. I had to face myself. Lord, is there something wrong? And that's where things has to change. My pastor always says in Australia, God must be God to stay in business with us. Think about that for a while. God must be God to stay in business with us. But you know what? God is able to help us. Elijah prayed. We need to, when there's a disappointment in your life, can I challenge you? Don't cry to men. Cry to God. In the quietness of your room, shut the door. No one involved. God, why? Open the Bible. Some of you don't even know what the Bible says about your situation. It's about time. It's about time we know the Bible. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The entrance of thy word giveth light. The more you read the Bible, the more understanding you have on the situation. Search the scriptures, for in them eating ye have eternal life. That's what Jesus encouraged the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were supposed to be religious leaders, but they didn't know the Bible. You do err not knowing the scriptures, the Bible says. In other words, you go into mistakes in your life, you err, you have errors in your life. Why? Because you don't know the Bible. Many people out there are walking around with no idea of God and His Word. That's why they're getting all kinds of trouble. Just now, remember there was this big man who came in, Kumaran. You know, he was on the phone. I don't know whether you know, Sister Grace, that Money passed away. You know who Money is? You know, as I was sitting there, Money was a caretaker in the halfway house over that side. We had a situation with him because of someone who stole something from here. And he was in charge of the halfway house. You know how he died? He was drinking. He just died in Khoo Teck Puat Hospital. I went to hell. No, I don't know him much. But when someone goes to hell, Christians, what are you doing? Are we so concerned about ourselves that there is no heart for someone else? I'm not talking about winning the world, you know. What about your own family? Getting them to walk with God. Being faithful. I'm convinced in my heart I can't win the whole world, but you know what? God help me for the person I can reach. Do all I can. I thank God for my wife and my children who have to put up with me not being there. I thank God for that, even Esther Joy. May it be an encouragement. She's trying to share the gospel. with her friends at the playground. You know, there's an encouragement. It's God dealing with us. We need to cry to God. Fathers, when was the last time you cried over your family that is not walking with God? I'm sorry, I have to bang that just to get some attention. Mothers, when was the last time? Don't just cry because your children cannot write the timetable properly. Cry because they don't know God. You know? By the way, when you go to heaven, your children will know your timetable perfectly. Amen? Don't cry because their work is lousy. Cry because they don't know God. Are you concerned, parents? Are you concerned for the things of this world? Elijah, when the problem came, he cried to God. Can I say this? The moment you cry unto God, that's when things start happening. Oh, there's some heart in there. I'll do something about that. One, I teach behavioral management to some people. And you know how you decide whether the children is throwing a tantrum or they're really in distress? You know, when children is throwing a tantrum, they will cry. Mama, give me one. Then you give a sweet, immediately they stop. That's a tantrum. Okay? Your parents, just in case, you still do not know how to meet. When you give a sweet to a child, and a child stops, that's tantrum. But if you give sweet, you give $1 million, of course the child won't understand. You give ice cream, you give the whole tub, and it still cry and cry and cry. The child is in distress. You know, you put away all the rewards and you go straight to the child. Esther Joy just had this week, she was probably half asleep. She went to the bathroom, right? And then she closed the door and kept her hand. Okay, you show everyone your hand? And you know, the doors, the HDB, the toilet door, they had this. And so the skin, children's skin, very soft. So she went in, was like, wow! She come in. Then I look at it was real, you know, there was bleeding and there was things like that. The first thing I do was it's okay. And the second thing I do is kiss it. It's interesting what it does. Even though it's bleeding and you're going to lose your hand, but it's enough. You know why? Because it comes from a person who loves you. I'm not trying to give you a pep talk. When the Lord Jesus Christ touched someone, things happened here. When you respond to God, in your word, when God is speaking to your heart, you know. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Right now, God is speaking about a certain area in your life that is not too good. And perhaps there's pain. And say, but God, you touch me. The first thing we need to do, however, is to go to God. Can you imagine if I say, come here. Say, I don't want to go near you. You're very smelly or something like that. You know? You know what? I can tell you, even how smelly I am, she will still come and hug me. You know why? The pain in her hand is small. But you know what? She came. But you know what? You need to come to God. Many of us go through life not coming to God as a Christian. When you have trouble, you rather go to your friends, you rather go to everyone else but God. Nothing wrong with going to your friends for counsel and comfort. But you know, ultimately you need to go to God. And that's what Elijah did. Elijah was a man of prayer. And by the way, do you know Elijah was confused? Elijah said, God, you sent me here to this lady to kill her son? I don't get it. How many of you don't get it when you go get disappointment sometimes? Why? And you know what? You will not rest until you get an answer. Can I give you what the Bible says? Sometimes when you go through disappointments, God doesn't give you answers. Oh, that's hard for some people. Why did God kill the son? You know, just now when I give you, it's only my speculation based on God's word. God never give a specific answer. Did you know that? Can I say this? In life, we cannot expect answers for everything that goes wrong in your life. Because God in the Bible didn't promise you that. But He did promise, I'm with you always. I will hold your hand. And perhaps, you know what God wants to do? Teach us to trust Him. You know, sometimes when children get into trouble, Can you imagine if something happens to Jeremiah actually had a cut one time. He was running in the playground. And there was a stool that was about this high, right? Knee high. So he was about knee high too. So when he ran, this part of the mouth, some of you know the story, actually just nice hit the side of the stool that he bounced back. And when I actually saw, his mouth was open. This whole place was torn, you know. Okay? And so when I look at it, it's like, how come his mouth so big? Huh? Literally, and then after a while, it all started to be red. Then I said, then I shouted, thank God, Jairo and Joanna was very, very disciplined. Said, Jairo and Joanna, go to the van. Then they went there and sat down. Then when we were at hospital, they were sitting down, and I went to park the van, ran up, and of course, Jeremiah was kind of halfway into dreamland. Kind of, he was like going into a, and Joanna and John were just, so your children are very good. They haven't moved since you left them there. But probably I was shouting at them and instructing them. But you know, can you imagine if I, Papa, why all this happened? If I start explaining to Jeremiah and say, you know what, because God has a sovereign plan for your life. The reason why you hit this, I don't know. Perhaps God wants you to grow taller. Maybe biologically speaking, you can sew back. Can you imagine? Try to explain that to your children sometime. You know what will happen? You just, right? You know what? When you go through the disappointment in life, you don't need explanations. You need God. Amen? Think about that. When you go through the pain in your life, you don't want explanation. When Esther Joy got a cure, the thing that touched him the most was when I hugged her. You know, that's the reality of life. You are not going to get answers for everything, Christians. So we might as well settle that now. That's why God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Some of you have gone through certain things in your life and you are still asking why. Can I challenge you? Go to God. The book of Job. The book of Job was a terrible one. Terrible one for Job. Those of you who know the story of Job. Job was a very rich man. He had 10 children. Very rich. You know what happened? You know what happened? In one day, he lost everything. All his money. His possessions. His cattle. He even lost his children. And finally, he lost his health. Everything was lost. Everything was gone. At the end of the chapters, you know what? He started to complain. Oh God, curse the day that I was born. How many of you had? I'd rather die, God. Why am I in this world still? How many of you asked that question before? Don't have to put out your hand. Why am I born? That was what Job asked. How did God answer Job? Turn to Job. For it was some movement so that you can stay awake. We're going to be finishing soon. Job chapter 40. Job chapter 38. Job had many questions for God. God, why was I born? Why was people rejoicing when a male child was born, etc., etc.? Then in Job chapter 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, you know what did God explain to Job what happened? This is why it's in verse 2. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee. Answer thou me. When was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Next time when you have a disappointment in your life and you ask God why, look at this verse. God's going to ask you this. Where were you when I made the earth? Can you answer?
I don't know. My mom and dad is not around yet.
God asked 88 questions of Job. You know what God was trying to tell Job? Job, you don't need answers to your problems. You need to know me. You need to know me. Lest you misunderstand, I'm not asking you to have blind faith in God. But I'm saying through the understanding of God's word. There are certain things God will not explain. Why? Because we cannot understand His mind. You know, up to some of you has gone through life for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Why are you, Brother Samson, why are you in Singapore? You mean you don't know? Well, Saint Joseph from India. Who else? Why are you in Singapore? Why are you married to her? It's God's plan. Of course, it's the best plan, right? And both parents. Why? Why? Catherine, why are you so tall? Why I have no more hair? Okay, that one can be explained or whatever. Why? Why are you in your particular family? Good or bad? Do you think our good God will have a lousy plan for you? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen?
Amen.
Do you want to know the answers? Can you imagine if God sat you down and explained to you everything? Do you think you can understand? Some of us fall asleep within 5 seconds. Some of us a bit longer, maybe 10 minutes. And some 1 hour. But you know what? God's wisdom, God says, Isaiah 55, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But you know what? You need to go to God. When you're confused, when you're disappointed, when you want answers, you need to go to God. Because to be very, very honest, from the Bible, when you are facing trials in your life, you don't need answers. You just need God to comfort your heart and say, God, I don't know, but you do. And I'm going to just hold your hand. Lord, you hold my hand. I trust you. I want you to notice a few things about this passage. Number one, when the widow complained, there was no answer. When Elijah prayed, the Bible says the Lord heard Elijah and the child's soul returned to the boy. In dealing with disappointments, God did not give any reasons why the widow had to go through the death of her son. He merely focused on the end test. Meaning, are you going to trust me or not? For us, remember one thing. God may be dealing with us, but God reserves the right to tell you why or why not. Because why? He is God. Christians, if that is not good enough for you, then nothing else is. I serve God because He is God. He is my God. And if He is God, He has the right to decide anything. But I'm encouraged by my God. Why? Because He's a holy God. He's a compassionate God. He's a merciful God. There can be no evil in Him. God gives good gifts to us. So I can trust Him. If He's willing to die for me, what else won't He do for me? Amen? And He rose again from the dead. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Bible to guide us. He gave you your food to eat. He gave you your coffee, by the way. Huh? All your coffee or palm oil, not very good for you. But no, it's still, the trees have to grow. Who made the trees? Huh? Sugar came from where? Cane sugar came from where? Came from God. Do you realize everything you have comes from God? Huh? Some of you, like you said, some are healthier than others, you know? Because God provided everything for us. And so when we go through certain things, we blame the one who provided us all things. Oh no, go to God in prayer. Ask Him. Sometimes for life disappointments, there will be no answer. But finally, when we face life disappointments, God's way. Believe it or not, we will accomplish God's will. Look at verse 24, the last verse in 1 Kings 17:24. And the woman said unto Elijah, now by this, I know thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. You know, sometimes God has to bring disappointments in our lives so that we will realize who He is. Christians, if there's no disappointment in your life, if everything is smooth sailing, it could be two things. Number one, you're so backslided, you're hardened against God, or you're not safe. If there are things in your life that you are hiding from God, you can be sure God will bring you up. One of the things I'm most keenly aware of as pastor is the amount of difficulties as a church we go through. But you know what? God is still giving the victory. It's amazing what God wants us to go through. I said this before, I said in October last year, there's no growth without stress. And thank God for the stress. But you've got to manage the stress God's way by turning to Him in prayer, in fasting. That's why as a church, August the 9th, yeah, it's National Day, everyone is celebrating, but as a church, I'm calling for a day of fasting and praying, focusing on what God wants us, seeking His face. And I pray ministry leaders, make the time to come. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men shall fear before Him. In the story of Joseph, I think we all know he was sold into slavery. He became the prince of Egypt. At the end of his life, his brothers were still concerned that Joseph being the prince of Egypt can now, after the father died, can take revenge and kill off the son. But you know what Joseph had in his heart? Joseph said this in Genesis 50 verse 20. Brothers, more than 10 years ago you sold me into slavery because you didn't like me. You wanted some money. You basically hated me. You meant it for evil, brothers. But you know what? Joseph had a higher plan. Alright, Joseph saw a higher plan. He saw, you meant it against me for evil, but God meant it for good. God meant it for good. Some of you may remember the story of Jim Elliot. It just came to my mind. You know, Jim Elliot was a man who wanted to serve God, you know, and four other men, he went into this tribe. They were killed by the tribe's people. You know, the reports that came, what a waste of a precious life. But was it a waste? It was because of Jim Elliot and fourth person willing to surrender the life that few months later the wives of these husbands go in with a translator to the Yuka Indians explaining to them, this man weren't coming to destroy your village. They were coming to tell you of the love of God. That was in the 1950s. Today, the Yuka Indians are Christians. Was it a waste? Oh yeah. To us, it may be a waste of our life. But Jim Elliot said that he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You know, when you face, you will accomplish God's purpose when you are willing to say, Lord, I'm seeking you first. I'm seeking you first. I was reading something. I just want to drop this in. The word at the end of 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24, and the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. The word true comes from the Hebrew word meaning amitai. How many of you, does that word amitai ring a bell? You know who is Amitai? The father of Jonah, the prophet, the first missionary. Now if that is true, tradition tells us, if that is true, God's disappointment in this widow's life led to God answering that prayer, leading to the first missionary that God sent out to the city of Nineveh. We have Indian brethren here today. You know why? Because Thomas the Apostle obeyed God, preached the gospel in India. Amen? Some of you are here today because someone cared enough to bring you here in the church. As we close, are you facing life disappointments? Do you realize that God wants us to know Him experientially? Remember, when you face disappointments, God is dealing with you. Don't run away. Don't say, ah, don't. Can I encourage you to talk to someone? If God is really bringing out certain things, talk to someone. Because in our own mind, sometimes we cannot understand what God is trying to do. But God can give you godly counsel to let you have His perspective. God causes us to face ourselves. God causes us to face ourselves. God wants us to bring it to Him so that He can accomplish His will. If you are here today and you have disappointments in your life and you're asking, why, Brother Johnny, why? You know what God is trying to do? God is trying to get your attention so that you will come back to Him. If you are not a Christian, disappointments and discouragements in life is God's way of bringing us back. Just like when you have pain in your life, it is to highlight that something is wrong. God wants you to come to Him today. Listen to the invitation of Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Are you fighting life? Or are you willing to say, Lord, if that's true, I surrender to Jesus. Ambassador Baptist Church cannot give you salvation. Jesus Christ can. And Christians, we are but instruments, servants of God, caring for one another. The only true comforter is the Holy Spirit and our Savior who prays for us. Come to Him, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. And I know many people perhaps are just going through thoughts in their minds. Lord, it's not by what I say that you're going to bring life to many people, but it's by your word. Lord, I pray that thy Holy Spirit will encourage us to turn to you. Lord, I know perhaps in the life of some of our brethren and some of our people here, there might be disappointments in their life. But we know, Lord, that without you, we will not be able to deal with them. And so, Father, I pray that you will deal with us gently. Deal with us, Father, in our hearts. With eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. We're going to be singing the song, it will be worth it all. But you know, you might say, Brother Johnny, I have some disappointments in my life. And based on what you said today, yeah, it's true, I want answers. But you know, this widow of Zarephath didn't have answers. All he had was a man of God to pray for him. And I want to do that. And God has called me into this ministry to be an encouragement. And perhaps there's disappointments in your life and you're saying, Brother Johnny, pray for me. You could be a young person, you can be a youth, you can be a teenager, you can be an adult, you can be a father, a mother, whoever. This might be the first time you're hearing this. There will be tears in your eyes and in your hearts right now and say, God, I don't understand. You know what you need? You need God. Jesus didn't say, come to me, I'll explain to you. He said, come to tell me and I'll give you rest in your soul, in your heart. Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will help me to come to Christ. Is there anyone like that? Just pull up your right hand. Amen, I see that. Put that hand and put it down. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see many hands, small, young and old, disappointments in life. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see the hand too. Put up and put it down and pray. Amen. I see that hand too. Disappointments in life. Yes. Young and old, you're putting up your hands. Put it up, put it down, pray. Pray in your hearts. And for those who have put up your hand, just with your eyes closed, just listen. You ask God. You identify that place that you know is a problem, or that place that is a disappointment. You ask God why, and you promise God, I will search your word, I will read it, and God, you speak to me. And then when God speaks to you in your His word, as you study it, as you read it, obey God. If God says forgive, then forgive. If God says give, then give. If God says do whatever, then just follow what He says. And God will give you light. Is there anyone else? If you're here today and you're not a Christian, the disappointment in life will have no hope unless you come to Christ. Say, Brother Johnny, I don't know this thing about Jesus, but I do want to find out how to have some relief from my disappointments. Would you share with me? Is there anyone like that? Pull up your right hand. I don't know the sin in my life, perhaps, that I need Christ. Oh, we're not asking you to join the church. We're not asking you for money. We just want to show you how to find salvation in Christ. And that God promised us an abundant life as well. Freedom from sin. Freedom from guilt. And sometimes the things that happen in our life because of sin. It's oftentimes because of sin. Is there anyone? I don't know whether if I die right now I'll be in heaven. We're not going to go through. We're going to go through the Bible and just share with you clearly what God wants us to know. Is there anyone? If not, let's pray. Father, we thank you for those people that put up their hands. God, is a sensitive time. It's a time that you are going to point a finger at where they have to surrender. It's a time when people perhaps have disappointments in their lives. And God, unless you would take and touch them, Lord, they're going to continue in that pain. Lord, I pray for your mercy and your Holy Spirit. I pray for your grace to touch us in a special way. I pray for those who have put up their hands and say, God, I need your help. Lord, humanly I can't help them, but you can. And I'm praying for them, Lord. Just like Elijah prayed. It wasn't the prayer of Elijah that raised the son from the dead, but Lord, rather it was you who heard the prayer of Elijah. And so God, I'm asking you to hear my prayer. I'm asking you to hear our prayer for one another. Many hurting people, Lord, both inside here and outside. Lord, I pray that you will touch their lives in a special way. God, thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. Help us to know, Lord, that we don't need explanations, we just need you. We just need to obey you. We just need you to touch and hold our hands through the trials. You promise in the book of Isaiah 43 and verse 10, verse 2 and Isaiah 41 verse 10, that you will be with us even as we walk through the fire and through the floods of waters. God, you promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. God, you may not explain to us our problems, but you promise you are going to hold our hands as we go through them. And so God, that's what we depend on. That's the promise of your word for us. Help us to believe it. Help us to lead not to our own understanding, nor our ways to acknowledge you, Lord. And we know you will direct our paths. Bless everyone now as we close. In this closing hymn, I pray you'll be an encouragement. No, one day, Father, when we see you, everything, Lord, will be over. We'll thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as we just sing one more hymn as we close. For those who have made decisions, perhaps as you stand there, you can pray and really ask God to help you to surrender him. We'll just sing the first and the last stanza, okay? First and the last stanza.
Oft times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride.
We thank you that one day you're going to blow the trumpet sound. One day, Lord, you're going to from heaven call those whom you have redeemed. From heaven, Lord, you're going to shout. But the Bible tells us the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And they that are dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Thank you for the comfort we can receive, Lord, from thy word today. Thank you for the disappointments you bring our way. For the times that, Lord, we ought to be in prayer. Lord, oftentimes, you want to guide us to the place that we can pray. And Lord, we are praying now. I pray for 1 year, perhaps for a few, whose heart is burdened with disappointments, perhaps, disillusionments, expectations, Father, that perhaps they are wanting this world to meet. Father, help us to understand our satisfaction can only be found in Jesus Christ. Because you are all to us. You saved us. You are guiding us through the Holy Spirit. You're giving us your word. And Father, on a daily basis, I'm praying, I'm begging of you to help us walk that way. To love you, Lord. That thy word will always be a lamp to our feet. We will not let what we think guide how we live, but we will let your word guide how we live. I pray for every brethren here. Lord, I know some of us are carrying heavy burdens, difficult to be borne. But Father, even said that some of us as brethren are carrying burdens that we are trying to bear in our own strength. Oh Lord, help us to understand that we need to just surrender it to you, because you tell us in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for us. Help us to face disappointments your way, Lord. Help us to realize that you, in your love, are focusing on us. Help us to understand that maybe you are trying to get us to face ourselves on certain things in our lives. Help us to realize we need to go to you in prayer. And help us to realize, Lord, when we do it that way, we will accomplish your will. As I asked the brethren just now, some of them don't even know why they are in Singapore. But they are here, and you are dealing with them. And I know, Father, there is a plan. We thank you, Lord, that higher hands are leading us. But we thank you that we can know the God. We can thank you that you're a personal God. You care for everything that goes on in our lives. Thank you for church people who care for one another too. I pray, Father, you help us to be strong. We pray for this family of this man who just died. God, may it give us a deeper sense of responsibility. May we give us a heart to want to win more for you. God, that many might come to Christ before it's too late. We thank you that we have Christians here. Thank you, Father, for what you are going to do in their lives. Thank you, God, for meeting with us today. Help us this week to bring the love of Jesus in our hearts, the Word of God in our hearts, to reach someone who may be in disappointment, that we might be able to bring that person to Christ. Because, Father, can I just say this, Lord, you're all worthy. We appreciate you, Lord. We love you, Father, for what you are doing to us. And I pray that thy precious word will always be a lamp to us. God, help every one of us to walk with you this week. That, God, we will pray and pray longer. We will read and we'll read more. We'll start memorizing thy word. That, God, we might know you in a far more personal way. Thank you for the victory in our lives. Help us to go in your name. Thank you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated. And we'll dismiss.